Hi, I'm Bonnie Simmons, and this is the Archives Task Force meeting. And as we get going here, why don't we take some roll and find out who's on the phone. Don White?
Yes. Bonnie Simmons?
I'm present. Here.
Wendy Schrill? Sherna Gluck?
Sherna wrote an email that she might not be able to be here.
That's right. Melinda Eilidon?
Here.
And Bonnie is here. Alonzo Brown? Okay, Michael Woodson?
This is Teresa.
Here.
Great, thank you.
Okay, and he is here. And Teresa, you are here?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And Annie Hallett?
Don't think
and, okay. And let's see, Tibby Brooks?
Here.
Okay, Don White is here. And John, he was in the informal discussion last time, but he's not an actual member of this working group, I don't believe, is he?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. So we don't require a quorum, so we do have one, two, three, four, five, six people on the, seven people on the call, I think.
And so, actually, Addie, you're here, right?
Right.
Oh, yes, Addie, excuse me.
And is Brian on?
I am
and
here.
Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Brian is here, very good. Those are two important people that I didn't call, so very
Wendy.
Good. And Wendy Schrill is here now.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am.
Yes. Okay, that's the roll.
All right. I see that we have some draft minutes, at least from August, and I sent them out. Did you guys get them?
Yes.
Perhaps we could go through those and determine if we can approve them.
I move that we approve the minutes. This is Teresa Allen.
Second the motion.
Do I hear any objection to approving the minutes as they stand to the August meeting?
I would like to suggest that we make sure that we have the dates on it, because as I look at them...
Oh, yeah, I don't see it. I'll look it up and add those on. I assume nobody has an objection beyond making sure we have the date on there.
And the actual date of those minutes we just approved was what date?
Hang on one second. Let me look it up. It was August 21st.
Thanks.
And last month we didn't really take notes, did we? Because we just had an informal discussion.
That's right.
And, Madam Chair, may I ask what it means where it says end 5:56? What does that mean?
I have no idea. Well, it wouldn't be when the meeting ended. Maybe that's when we started? It could be. I have no idea. Michael Woodson sent these to us.
Michael, can you tell us what this... Right in the middle of the minutes, it says N5:56. What does that mean?
That's the Pacific time. That discussion moved to a different one.
Oh great. It has to do with the streaming on the archives?
No, those are Brian's notes, and I believe that he took the time that we departed from one topic and went to another.
We could probably eliminate that.
Yeah, be my guest.
Any other changes or comments?
I'm assuming that we will capitalize the word society in Wisconsin State Historical Society. It says, Brian reminded Sherna of Wisconsin State Historical Society. I'm assuming that means that they are the formal place where our archives are kept. We might want to complete that sentence and say, Brian reminded Sherna that Wisconsin State Historical Society is our formal repository?
No, it's only for some records. It's complicated.
Okay. Well,
let's not get too specific or we're going to have to do a shitload of research.
Why don't we say, Brian reminded Sherna that some of our records are kept.
Some of our historic records reside at the Wisconsin.
Okay. Can you change that, Madam Chair?
All right. Tell me again what you want it to be.
Brian reminded Sherna that some of our records are kept at the Wisconsin State Historical Society.
How about reside at?
Okay.
Some of our historic records reside at Wisconsin State Historical Society.
Okay, and then I suppose we want to fix the sentence that says, my eye just jumped. Sherna said that Wisconsin is a good.
I saw that.
I wondered, should that be a good state?
No.
Can we just eliminate that sentence?
Yeah, I think she meant it was a good venue to have our records reside,
yes.
But it should just be deleted, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm always a little... I think it gets really hard when we try to take minutes that are beyond actions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Very hard.
Thank you.
So, I think that a lot of this is an attempt to, document discussion rather than actions.
Yeah, notes, right. It's notes rather than, minutes.
So, can we just eliminate that whole sentence that says Miss Wisconsin is good? I mean, they're great for cheese, snow, and beer.
Sure.
But can we eliminate that sentence, Madam Chair?
I don't see why we couldn't.
Maybe you'll ask if there's any.
Although it's more fun filling it out.
Reputable
institution. Kind of like Mad Libs.
It is.
Shall we move on from these?
Mm-hmm. I would also suggest that we correct the spelling of historical in, I think, the second paragraph after it used to say end 5.56.
Yeah, I see it.
The spelling and the capitalization there.
Okay,
and maybe we might want to capitalize task force throughout. But otherwise, can we approve these, Madam Chair?
I initially heard no objection to approving them. Does anyone have any objection to approving them with the corrections that we've spoken about? So be it. And I'll send those out to everybody after I correct them. Okay. Let me just look at the calendar for a moment. The next meeting it would be the 20th of November if we were to stay with the third week. Fourth week. Hold on. Hang on. When is Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Is this where we are on the agenda?
Well, we do have to set the next meeting. I would like to propose that we set the next meeting on the fourth Tuesday of the month, so that it is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Does that work for folks?
No, it doesn't. The Tuesday after Thanksgiving is the Pacific Arc.
Yeah, that's... forget it. You're all going to be listening and dialing in.
I'm glad you're here. that silly thing.
But, Bri, what about... Won't you guys be pretty hot and heavy working on this the week before, too?
Of course.
Of course.
We're already there. We're already in the zone.
We are in the zone.
Yeah. December 4th is the next Tuesday, and my calendar says Hanukkah begins.
Mine doesn't.
Oh,
but
you don't have the cool
but the wrong calendar.
Yeah, that's right. I think mine might not be.
Mine doesn't either. Oh, no, the next day is Hanukkah.
Mine says Wednesday.
No, Hanukkah starts at sundown on the 4th.
Of course.
Well, I have the Lowe's gardening calendar in Texas.
I have the astrologer's date book.
You know, I brought mine back from El Salvador. It doesn't even list Thanksgiving.
But it probably has Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah. There are Jews in El Salvador.
There certainly are.
There are just no Thanksgiving down there.
Well, what do you do?
What do you guys want to do? Do you want to go to the third Thursday in December?
Madam Chair, do we want to not have another meeting between now and our archives fundraising event?
Okay.
Well, I'm just cognizant of how much they're going to be kind of hunkering down on getting the work done on the special. Addie, Brian, what do you guys think?
I would rather send materials to the Archives Task Force for promotions and just ask that the task force pay attention and take the materials and promote the hell out of them.
Okay.
So
are we going to
be more productive?
So are we going to
we really need your energy. That's true.
Pardon, somebody said something along with Addie. I couldn't understand it. Sorry.
I said, are we going to skip the meetings the meeting in November?
If someone wants to make a motion on that, maybe we can get there.
Another option would be to have a subgroup, if they wanted to meet, to discuss final preparations for the meeting on the 27th. And, you know, anyone who wanted could attend, you know, could get on the call on Tuesday the 13th. Or someone could propose that we schedule our next meeting for, like, maybe early in December. I'm looking at the KPFTX calendar. The archives meeting is on the calendar for the 27th, so it should be removed if we don't want
to. I'll amend that.
But, I mean, all the Tuesdays in December are free, including Christmas Day.
Oh, let's do a Christmas Day.
This is Wendy, Bonnie.
Yes, Wendy.
To be realistic, is there anything that this committee is going to do besides promote the hell out, read our email, and promote the hell out of it, as Brian said, that can actually help with this archives fundraiser? And I don't think there is. I think what you're saying is realistic, that we would actually be hindering the staff there by asking them to meet before that fundraiser. So, I mean, after the fundraiser, then we're going to be able to have a lot to talk about on how it went. And I don't know. I read my email every day. I'm going to tell you that, and I'm happy just to get those emails. But I'm open. I can do right now I can do anything in December except for that week that I have to do the family thing.
Given that Brian is going to send us materials through and keep us up to date, and I'm sure can alert us if there is something that he thinks of that we can help do in November, why don't we look for a reasonable date at the beginning of December? Brian,
I'm definitely
Addie.
Looking for something reasonable.
Pardon?
I'm definitely for looking at something reasonable.
I'm just not at the calendar.
The dates in December are the 4th and the 11th and the 18th. I'm sorry, correction.
4, 11, 18, 25.
4, 11, 18, and 25.
That's
well, obviously the 25th is probably out.
Right. It's amazing. The elections has a meeting scheduled on the on Christmas Eve.
Oh, God, people. And I'm sure it will be incredibly well attended.
Yes.
But the oh, Tuesday's all is free.
We can also have a meeting with the Atheist Collective that day.
Well, just for the sake of argument, how about the 11th?
Let's go with it. I move that we have our next meeting on December 11th.
And do I hear a second?
Second. Now, Wendy.
Is there any discussion to be had on this? If not, does anybody object to us moving the next archive meeting to December 11th at 8:30 New York time? Hearing no objection, let's rock on with our bad selves on that.
Great.
And now we have obviously I think that we should have a report from Brian and on plans for the archive special and anything else that we need to go over. There is an item that Teresa submitted that I've sent to everybody.
Yes.
About how stations are submitting materials to the archives as we stand. And Sherna had asked for an item in some email that she and a discussion that she and Brian were having in email about tabling, the archives tabling and being present at events. Those are the items that I see before us. Does anybody have others that they'd like to add to the agenda?
I'm just assuming, this is Teresa, I'm just assuming these new items will come after the discussion of the upcoming fundraising.
My suggestion would be that we have a report from Brian and then take the other items after that.
Okay.
Is it my turn then?
Shall we proceed with that? Has anybody got any objection to it? Hearing none, take it away, Brian.
All
right, so I guess the first shorter thing is that this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be in New York City at the Rapture Cafe, who's invited me to do basically a poetry reading performance with the archives materials and do a fundraiser, as well as sectioning off a portion of their bookstore for the Pacifica Archives product. So it's a community event fundraiser collaboration with the avant-garde poetry reading bookstore, Lower East Side. We managed to get a press release out, and we're already posted on bukowski.net and a newspaper publication in China.
No way.
Yay. Yeah, evidently there are Bukowski fans out there.
But what was that about?
Right. Yeah, the hit came from Bukowski. One of the reasons why I'm doing this and why it's getting press is that we, through our NEA grant, we did discover what has now been corroborated by the people who know as the earliest known recording of Charles Bukowski reading poetry at all, and it was on Los Angeles radio station. So basically, we're premiering the earliest known recording of Bukowski, which is why it's getting press, which is why we get audience in and why we get to pitch the money and ask them to write us checkies. So,
what's the name of the place again?
It's called the Rapture Cafe.
Okay.
And it's rapturecafe.com. And if you go to events, it'll be on the 26th and 27th.
Have you forwarded the press release to the
group?
Committee?
Yeah. I suppose I shall do that now.
Yeah.
After I talk.
Right.
Well, Brian, just for the minute, you'll be doing two nights of appearances there, right?
That's
November 26th and number 27th, or will you just be there one of those two nights?
No, two nights, 26th and 27th.
Okay. November.
I think Tibby, you're still on the phone from New York.
Yes.
The Wake Up Call is doing an interview for us on Friday morning. I'll be on Wake Up Call promoting
great.
It.
You know, it's a big weekend for the anti-war action.
Ah,
so
great.
We should be getting a lot of people becoming into New York.
Right.
And staying, you know what I mean?
And wanting
right.
to party.
And want to party.
Something uplifting like the Gauss.
right.
Yes, so well, people who are... yeah, they are that kind of people.
Right. So luckily, you know, with the Rapture Cafe, they've been around for a very long time, something like 25 years, and they have a very large mailing list. So the
and one more thing.
You go to Rapture.com? No.
I'm sure.
I love the photo for Halloween.
Good.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Gross.
It's called TheRaptureCafe.com.
Oh, TheRaptureCafe.com.
No, not the, just RaptureCafe.com.
Okay.
Rapture Cafe, is it Cafe and Books?
Yes, it is, the Rapture Cafe and Books.
That bleeding from the face is definitely on their face, on their page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one.
Ugh.
I said avant garde, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Okay. It'll be fun. It'll be very, you know, it'll be very provocative and evocative of WBAI and Pacifica and where poetry on the radio has really popularized poetry through... and the advent of radio. So it's supporting all of our stations. It's supporting the foundation. And, of course, the archives is what we get to show off. So we're fundraising for the archives, but ultimately the press releases in the press, you know, notes that this is a Pacifica radio project.
Brian, can I ask a question before you get
mm-hmm.
too far
mm-hmm.
along? Yeah, can we use that recording of Bukowski for premium, and if so, how would I identify it?
You get to use it after the archives premieres it on the archives fund drive day as a premium.
Okay, thank you.
And also, I'm working with Linda Lee, Bukowski's partner, for the correct permissions. Right now, we're only using it in broadcasts. I've gotten permission from the manuscript holders from Linda Lee through the manuscript holders to use it in this performance. And for broadcast only, but we don't have rights for premium gifts or for sale yet. So once I get that sort of wrapped up and donate the CD to Linda Lee Bukowski, then we should be able to offer it either in the winter drive or the spring drive of next year.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Cool, Brian. I'm reading the event about you.
Yeah, me too. It looks fabulous.
Good. It should be. We have some lovely montages of poets and some fun stuff. So it should be fine. It's certainly stuff they haven't heard before, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
and they'll really know it.
Right.
I mean, they'll know they hadn't heard those words. So.
Right. And never, you know, and also we're promoting you know, Pacifica and WBAI and their attempt at broadcasting Howl. So we will be playing some of Howl, but also even what is more rare is Marianne Moore, who was an early woman poet who influenced Ginsberg and some of those beat poets before the beat started. So that's very exciting to do that as well. So,
thank you.
This is Teresa. I have one question. If Otis McClay is listening in, could you please look for my email? Thank you.
Are you doing secret emails while we're on the meeting?
Marianne Moore had great hats.
Great hats. She lived in Brooklyn Heights or something.
Great hats.
She
well, Tippi, I hope you'll be. I hope
ago.
You'll be able to make it to one of the nights if you're able.
I can make it for Saturday night because one of my bosses is giving a concert Friday night, and I really have to show my face.
Terrific. Well, we should have some.
Great.
Saturday night seems to be the night. That people want to come. So good.
So I'll be there Saturday night, and I'm putting it in my date book, and I'll get it out to the rest of my people.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Well, I mean,
see, that's
you.
An archives work. That's the archives task
Yeah, that's
force.
It. Go, team.
Go, team, go.
Marianne Moore, the one with the Flying Mermaid studio?
No. No, darling. She had a very good grasp of the language. There was nothing outrageous about Marianne Moore.
What?
I was just trying to find her, and I found one with a writing studio, Flying Mermaid Studio.
Oh, that's, well...
Maybe it's a different Marianne Moore. You have to have a tricornet hat.
Right, exactly.
And a black cape.
Right. And white powder.
And she has to look very waspy.
She was awesome.
With a little bun in the back of the head.
Right.
So we have a recording from 1956 in Bern.
No.
And very mannered.
Very mannered. And then we also have one very late in her life, right before she passed away after her stroke. So we're able to sort of listen to the change of voice in a poet between the early years and the older years.
Sounds like
when will that be
really
available?
Work, Brian.
That we could probably make available for you for this fun drive. Oh, I know. There's a From the Vault episode called Women's Poetry and Prose where we talk about Marianne Moore, play both of those clips, as well as Anne Sexton and Maya Angelou and others. So From the Vault, radio.org, episode number 46.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be cool if our stations played that show on the air?
Sure.
Uh-huh. So the BBC is going well. We are in our fourth episode. We've played Che Guevara for the first time in Europe from the 1964 tape. We just did an episode on, I just lost it. I can't remember who it was. Oh, Muhammad Ali and the Olympics. So they did a lot of sports. John Carlos from Mexico City, 1968, Muhammad Ali from 68, so that just happened this week. And our links are up on the BBC website. You can actually, well, it's a little bit hard to find, but it is there, and people can link and get over to the website from across the way. So we're really excited about that. And our the person we're working with, Joanne Griffith, has really sort of come into the fold and been part of the team and will be part of our Fun Drive Day, bringing the British aesthetic to our Fun Drive, as well as bringing what hopefully will be a rare interview with the president of Liberia.
Interesting.
Yes, that would be in the Hour for Global Women. So I'm just going to read, like, in order the hours that from the Fun Drive of what our content is going to be.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am?
And before you get off the BBC show subject, have you gotten any kind of comments or noticeable response at all or web hits or anything that you can tell?
Not really. We're seeing an upswing in our web commerce, but that's basically within the United States. I haven't seen anything else outside of the United States except for researching. Like, we can see, like, people from China and Israel actually using our database and doing research. And also the BBC is doing a film documentary about 1968, I Told You So.
Awesome.
So through our relationship, we're able to get them materials like the day they asked for them.
Great.
And that's supposed to be a BBC film documentary coming out next year. So the Pacifica Archives has been the first archive to respond with materials that are available.
Very good. So Joanne hasn't heard anything from BBC where they've said anything about any response that they've gotten?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the internal BBC, they're very excited about this series, and they're watching the numbers, and the web hits on their end are really close to like 5 million every week.
Excellent.
So we're doing really well. And what's happening right now, we're on the sports channel, which is kind of weird, but what the hell? It's still a place. but we're like, you know, we're like in a website full of, you know, European football, not even American football. But what the BBC is starting to watch is the audience response to it, and ultimately we'll be moved over to either the History Channel or their version of the History Channel or something a little bit more high up. So basically, it's the entryway. But the feedback is incredible, and the host that runs the show really enjoys the segments, and it sounds beautiful. You can listen from our front page of PacificaRadioArchives.org. You can listen to the first episode.
But not on Pacifica.org yet, right? We're still...
No, I'm still having quite a bit of problems with Pacifica.org.
Okay.
Brian, how many programs have actually been on BBC so far?
So far, we've done three.
Three, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
What?
What kind of, if I might ask, what kind of problems are we having with that website?
Well, From the Vault was created over a year and a half ago. Originally, this time last year, we created it to start promoting the archive so that there'd be a wider audience and a higher awareness about the archives before we actually had our one-day drive. So, and since then, it was always intended to go on Pacifica.org, but the website has always been in flux, updating, upgrading, changing, and there's always been an excuse as to why it couldn't be done. Just this past Thursday, it was on an... there was a call with the Operations Council on Thursday where I brought it up with Pete Karakis, and he said that as of a couple months ago, there's the ability where people can load programs onto the site themselves, although we still need information about that. So I'm, as of now, supposedly the archive staff can post from the vault on Pacifica.org. However, I doubt that we can actually choose placement. But we still need to have someone meet with Pete to get the instructions.
So you're at the same level as anybody else doing a radio show for Pacifica?
I suppose so.
Wow.
Really, that's kind of like all I know, and I'm not even sure what that means if we can do it ourselves.
Do you know
what we're going to try to find out.
We can see what it means. Okay.
What do you mean by that, Wendy? I'm not clear on what it means.
Well, I mean the whole idea of the splitting Pacifica into several different sites was that the programming would be on the homepage, and this is a national program that's being paid for, I guess by all of us, and it should be up there with Free Speech Radio News that isn't even produced by us, Democracy Now!, which isn't even produced by us. From the Vault is a Pacifica creation, and we need to be promoting that. And right now we've got BBC, we have an opportunity with BBC, which has this huge number of listeners, and the idea, I think, was to reference them to Pacifica.org, but it sounds like, I guess, we have to reference them to PacificaRadioArchives.org so that people can actually see, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying. I mean, we need to get that up there on our own homepage is what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you.
If this body would like to make a formal motion to support the need for From the Vault on Pacifica.org as a national program and word it in that setting, that would be very helpful, I believe.
Would we? Okay.
Michael Woodson does.
Well, you have to say what it is you're moving. I mean,
that's a good. He was so good at that. Go ahead, Brian. He's got clarity.
Politically, it would be better to come from. If somebody could suggest the wording, of course, and then the committee could endorse it, and then we could bring it to the PNB, and they'll pass it. I think it's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
I move that Pacifica, that From the Vault be featured prominently on the homepage of Pacifica Radio, Pacifica.org.
Is that
enough? Is that good?
Yeah, I think it should have a presence on the front page of Pacifica. Which was designed to highlight our programming. I agree.
Let's see. I hate making up motions on the fly. I should have done this before. This has been bothering me for months.
Let me just read and see if I have. It's moved that From the Vault be featured prominently on page one of Pacifica.org?
Yes, with links to the Pacifica Radio Archives page that has the programs.
Okay, with links.
Yeah, there's a section here that says listen to Pacifica, and it's got the five stations. Maybe he could give us a button in that box.
No, well, this is a national show that... is bigger than the radio stations, really. I mean, I'm not looking at the homepage. I guess I should go look at it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Don White here.
Sure.
You know, I actually think Michael has a good point that if From the Vault is featured prominently on page one in its own, you know, on its own merits on Pacifica.org, why couldn't we have a link to the archives just like we have links to the stations? It does. I don't think you have to.
There already is.
Compare
one.
Yeah, but is it on page one? Is
it's
there
on
one on page one?
Page, Pacifica websites, kpfa.org, kpfk, kpft, WBAI, WPFW, Pacifica Radio Archives, Pacifica Network, Pacifica National Board.
So that's really different than saying the program From the Vault.
No, I'm just saying that the archive
in addition to
has a link on the front page.
Right, but it's not easy to find.
Yeah.
It has very little junk. It
doesn't encourage listening.
Let's say that we don't agree from a station perspective.
Sure, but you know, that's a different issue. I just say that, like, if I'm trying to tell somebody, this is Addie, to, you know, go to the Pacifica .org site, or, you know, or people will go to the Pacifica.org site and say, how do I get to the archives? They
right.
need to call me, and I need to tell them. This is not good enough. Because I don't know everyone.
I'm not arguing that it's there's a lot of information on the front page.
Yeah, there is.
So maybe having some sort of box for From the Vault makes sense on the front page.
They give Democracy Now, you know, an inch and a half or 2 inches.
This show should be above Democracy Now, really, I think, because it's our show. I mean, it's like... maybe that's a goofy thing to say because that show's so popular. But look, I mean, Democracy Now, FSRN have their own links right there at the top. From the Vault should be right there. So, featured prom.
I don't see Democracy Now on here.
Huh?
I don't see Democracy Now on the front page here.
Yeah, it's on the left side under
featured
the main
program.
Menu. Featured shows. You see Halligan's Censorship in the front thing, and that will change all the time,
right.
I guess, because that's a special. But, you know, it's still like, wow, that's there. I mean, I love it that that's there. But and warcomeshome.org is there. And I don't think the webmaster disagrees with us. I just don't think that he has found it a priority. And so that's why we're asking for this motion. Featured shows, they're right there. Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, From the Vault. This is a killer, killer show, you guys. This is... something that can get Pacifica recognition and support our archives and get recognition to get people to help make sure these tapes don't decay. And, you know, I mean, where would the archive staff like to see it? I mean, I don't know.
That's a good question.
Well, for me, up front, in front of everybody, but, you know, that actually isn't my job. You know, the determining the real estate of Pacifica.org is not our job to do. What Wendy was saying, determines it already. So if it's a national featured show, there should be a logo in the featured shows and a link to FromTheVaultRadio.org. Should there be a special, like Howl Against Censorship, which is up on front now, if you click the More button, you'll see a tiny, you know, a little mention of the From the Vault episode that we did on Howl and a little link and a logo and a button, which is nice. But, you know, as a regular weekly series, it should be in the real estate section that highlights a regular ongoing series, which I think is featured
shows.
Which should
be bigger than these specials, even, actually.
Would it make sense to just ask that there be some discussion with Pete as to what makes the most sense, getting a box for From the Vault on the front page?
To be realistic, this, you know, they've been talking about it for a long time. The executive director wasn't able to make it happen. Now I hope that...
Now we've got a new one.
You're right. And so right now there is nobody there, really. So I, as a PNB member, I'm prepared to bring this forward and argue for it, and nobody's going to object. So it's a good idea to make it a mandate from the PNB. Now, they've been spending all this time on election stuff and everything, but it would be pretty simple just to put something up there now and then develop it later into the better thing that we really want. So,
and I will say, thank Wendy. I'm sorry to jump in, but Pete did, mention on this call Thursday that he was inundated with the elections tasks.
Right. So, I mean, and it'll take a while to get to the PNB and everything, but this is a killer tool for us to market ourselves to this amazing show that they're doing at PRA. So,
and it's making money for the foundation. The premiums during this fund drive for KPFK and WPFW particularly have gone off the charts.
I wanted to ask you if that 50-hour thing was being done on PFW, because we're offering it again on KPFT, and people are buying it again this time. So, yeah, it's great.
Yes, I pitched with Verna and somebody else who I had never met two days last week, and we broke some records in their midday What's at Stake program.
That's great. Okay, so where are we with the motion? Can we just ask for it to be included as a featured show? Is that what we should do right now with Democracy Now! And FSRN?
I guess that's a start. I think if we start there, we'll get some feedback to go somewhere.
If you're happy enough with that right now, I'm pretty sure we could get that. I mean, that's just one little picture with the logo and a link.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. Okay, so where are we with the motion?
Well, I think it's a motion in process because I keep hearing new wording. It says that From the Vault be featured prominently on page one of the Pacifica.org as a featured show of Pacifica.
Maybe that's the best way to do it. We could get more than I'm asking for with that. Possibly. Or just be happy with that too,
Now, Wendy,
I think we need to move on.
Yeah, I think we do too. But Wendy, do you want to include the comparisons as in a featured show such as...
No, I think I don't, because we could actually maybe it would end up bigger. Once he starts working on that, I think maybe it would be there. It could be, they're not going to make it smaller than those other shows. It'd be easy enough just to add it to that one little thing.
Yeah. So shall I read the thing and see if we can get a vote?
Yes.
That From the Vault be featured prominently on page one of Pacifica.org as a featured show of our network.
I don't think anybody would object to that.
The chair should
how long have you been around Pacifica? Okay, if there's no further discussion, I call the question.
Madam Chair?
We'll just vote.
Madam Chair?
Hi, sorry. Hello?
Yes?
I'll call on you, Teresa.
I just want to vote,
I'm
sorry,
my phone just wasn't letting me off mute.
Okay. Madam Chair, can you ask if there is any objection to this motion?
Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, we have passed the motion. Would you just read it one more time, Don?
That From the Vault be featured prominently on page one of Pacifica.org as a featured show of our network. Or should it be a featured program of our network?
The series. Either.
Featured program, yes.
Featured program of our network, yeah, okay. And it passes with no objection.
And no abstentions, not that we call for them. But
Brian, would you like to continue with the report?
Sorry.
If y'all don't mind, if I can speed through it, and then stop me if there are major questions. All right, so the broadcast is called Pacifica Radio Archives, Sounds That Changed the World. The first 2 hours really are an overview of the day to make sure that people know what's going to be heard during the day, and they can tune back in there in a certain hour if they want to hear some of the other subjects. So Verna Avery Brown and Bernard White will be hosting the Wake Up Call from New York, starting at 4 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll be giving an overview. The sounds that changed the world are the sounds like Rosa Parks, like Malcolm X, like Martin Luther King, and so forth. And as we go through the next subjects, you'll see parts of this will end up in the morning part. Amy Goodman, we are pitching to Amy and Democracy Now! An hour called Battles Cry, Conscientious Objectors from Vietnam to Iraq, which includes what we hope will be The Good War and Those Who Refuse to Fight, a film documentary and educational CD-ROM that has Amy Allison, KPFA's new morning host and current conscientious objector, as part of the DVD project.
And also that won't be released for PBS until a couple weeks later.
Right, so we get the scoop. And hopefully
well,
Amy
I've
will...
Seen, I'm a little confused. That I've seen that movie before.
Right, it was released in 2002.
Uh-huh. So what are we doing differently to it?
They've changed it into an educational CD-ROM tool that has more than just the film. There are special features within, like Amy Allison wasn't in the original film in 2002, so they've sort of included the Iraq War into the film as
it's
special features for the DVD.
Right. It's got an education kit. It's also being promoted. The reason why it's coming back now is, this is totally my conjecture, because everybody at PBS wasn't entirely thrilled with Ken Burns. And so they're kind of bringing it back as a counterpoint. And they're making a big promotional event out of that fact.
It's a good thing. They finally decided that the feel-good World War II documentary wasn't enough, so they're re-releasing The Good War to counter the fact that Ken Burns didn't really give too much attention to conscientious objectors.
And then the new DVD's got many new interviews and things like that, and it also has
it is awesome. I highly recommend it. In fact, I've had a hard time finding it. I've shown it about four times, and I keep going to this Quaker couple that has it and borrowing it.
Oh, well, see? Great. Give us a promo for it. Wouldn't that be good, Brian?
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so here's a little assignment, Teresa. if you go into KPFT and get somebody to engineer you, if you would record like a one-minute pitch about that.
Just saying exactly that?
Yeah, just saying what you just said.
That would be so great.
Okay.
And, because this is a really great tool, and it's a really great thing. And also, you know the documentary. Since you know the documentary, you know that it features the founders of Pacifica. In it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so.
Well, if you get a chance, so this is, you're saying, this is being offered as a premium at our upcoming fundraiser?
We're saying we're pitching to Amy.
Right.
This
well,
you to do the thing where you're just like a consumer saying, you know, I know this film and I've been watching it since 2002. I've been trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Very personal message. It doesn't have to be the professional
pitch. Somebody said it just showed on television again the other day. I couldn't find it, but they were saying that it was on.
It was on like second tier. It was on some second tier PBS stations. Unfortunately, they didn't tell the producers that. Mm-hmm. But never mind. But that wasn't this new DVD.
right. So anyway, so we have the different levels that we of content that we need to pitch to Democracy Now to make it worthy of a 20-minute segment on their 450-station broadcast rather than just the 5 Pacifica station broadcast. It's called promotions.
Well, does that mean that if we buy that, okay, but it's still going to be a Pacifica premium, right?
That's
right,
correct.
Right, right. So the broadcast will include The Good War. It will include Amy Allison as a current Iraq conscientious objector and still part of the Pacifica family. So we're creating a trajectory from the beginning, World War II conscientious objectors, to now with Amy Allison. And somewhere in the middle is the archives Vietnam era recordings and conscientious objectors. So basically, as the premium, we're building the premium that Amy likes to do. We have the radio version of The Good War that was produced for Pacifica Radio and was broadcast like once a million years ago, probably in 2002. So we now have that original three-part, it was 3 half-hours, which was the radio version of The Good War. That hasn't been aired on Pacifica since the original broadcast. So that's the low-end premium. We have the Good War DVD educational kit. And then we have the collection of Vietnam-era recordings. So basically we have a good toolkit, educational toolkit that we contribute to for conscientious objectors from World War II to Iraq. So, yay! We just cross your fingers that Democracy Now! Will be excited and enthusiastic about it as well.
Congratulations, Brian. That's great.
But thanks. even if Democracy Now! Were not enthusiastic about it, we still could offer this as a wonderful premium to lots of affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we should pin our star on Democracy Now. I mean, this is a wonderful premium, and it's, I mean, it would be wonderful for us to pitch it as premiums for many different stations, right? I'm surely anybody that goes to grassroots radio conference would understand the significance of this premium, right?
Right. We could definitely work with Judy Ehrlich, who's the producer of The Good War, in creating a package that we could offer to the affiliates. I think that would be really good after we sort of get it together ourselves. But as a separate thing, I think, The Good War is not going to be released yet on PBS, so it's still sort of a secret.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we would be
happy to offer it to our stations and affiliates when and if it's appropriate. Okay?
All right.
Can you tell us some of the other things that you're planning for further into the day?
Yes, thank you. So in the morning, after Amy Goodman, Margaret Prescott's going to be working on an hour called Beat the Drum, The Power of African Women. That includes women of the civil rights movement, but since our 68 project and our Sound of Soul Adopt-A-Tape party, we have a lot more materials and content to add to what used to be a 3-CD set of Lena Horne, Fannie Lou Hamer, Rosa Parks, Angela Davis, et cetera, et cetera. But now we can add Angela Davis interviewing Carmen McRae and a Catherine Dunham interview, Elaine Jones, the first black woman timpanist for the New York Philharmonic. So we're able to expand the scope of the women of the civil rights movement into a larger power of African women and what are the roles women play in from then on. After that, we segue into Global Women with Sonali Kohatkar. This is where we believe that we're going to have an interview with the president of Liberia, a woman, and Vandana Shiva and Arundhati Roy. So we're working on not only what Pacifica has produced and covered on global women's issues that nobody else did during the early days, but also currently the story really hasn't changed so much in terms of what global women are really being seen in mainstream media. So we're excited about Sonali. It'll be her first day back from her 3-month maternity leave, so we will be able to officially bring her back onto the airwaves with our fund drive. We're still working on some music issues. We're working with Jackson Brown, who may be inviting some musicians to the studios for us, or pre-taping a little concert from his studios here in L.A. Against the Grain at KPFA is hosting the noon hour Pacific time with featuring what we hope will be the White House tapes, the Nixon tapes we discovered with, which was the dramatization of the Nixon tapes when they were released back in 73, I think. And this is the one that we have Mama Cass Elliott reading H.R. Haldeman, Harry Shearer, Rob Reiner, Christopher Guest, and a bunch of other lefty actors from the 70s. So we're sort of reaching out and trying to make that program work. We have an hour to Alan Watts with Roy Tuckman and Lisa Garr. Alan Watts still makes quite a bit of money and is still quite rare in the radio world. Michio Kaku most likely will be doing something on global warming, not only because we have early, from the early 70s when he was doing his thing, but with the Nobel Peace Prize and the environment, you know, being at the head of the news, we're sort of shaping that with Michio for that. We'll be featuring now On the Sound of Soul, Adopt-A-Tape Party. You know, a lot of these recordings, like James Baldwin and Langston Hughes, really have not been heard. You've heard Malcolm, you know, we have some James Baldwin that's been aired, but some of the Sound of Soul stuff is the stuff that goes deeper, that has not been transferred yet. So we're able to sort of share what we've done with our Adopt-A-Tape Party. I was at Ali Willis's last week and talked to some of the adopters. So we have LeVar Burton, Brenda Russell, Steve Vai, and somebody else who's going to do pre-recorded pitches for us for the day.
Great.
So we're very excited about that. Steve Vai is on tour, and he's willing to sort of step out and make it happen. We're hoping that Hard Knock Radio will be doing an hour on the Black Panther legacy. We've done some new, Debbie and Edgar here in the archives have been working with the Black Panther Party materials for about a year, listening to every sound that we have and putting together a new 7-CD set of highlights from everything that we have, including, which is new for us, William Kunstler's overview of the case that he represented. So that's looking good, and we just sort of need to continue working with our hosts and local producers to get them to stop for a moment about local fundraising and think about the archives fundraiser. But things look in pretty good order with the content. It's just a matter of getting our local people to stop for a second. We've been talking about the 68 Project for a long time already. It seems like that's what I talk about a lot. So Jerry Quickly will be focusing an hour on Where Were You in 68 and a lot of the materials that we have. I just got confirmation that we'll be interviewing Mark Kurlansky, who is the author of 1968, The Year That Rocked the World, who knows our material and knows Pacifica and is very excited and enthusiastic about coming in and giving us the stamp of approval and the scholarly approval of these materials that we are previewing on November 27th. That will be heard next year throughout the year on Pacifica Radio. Addie, do you have any exciting thing from 68 that... Oh, I guess we can do a Revolution Rewind moment, huh?
Yes.
All right, so in 68, this is the hour that we sort of coalesce and aggregate what we're talking about throughout the entire day is our preservation work, what we've done with 1968 and why we're remembering everything. The Sounds That Changed the World, 68, certainly falls underneath that title. So throughout the day, you'll hear two-minute Revolution Rewind moments. The first one includes H. Rapp Brown commenting on Mexico City Olympics, power salute, the day the New York Times article came out in 68, as well as John Carlos speaking about why he did it himself. And we mixed in James Brown's I'm Black and I'm Proud. So we're using 68 music, 68 audio, and 68 events in a nice very exciting, sexy little Revolution Rewind moment. So that,
and they'll come within each hour.
Right. So if we have an hour on global women, we will find a 1968 moment in that subject. If we are in the power of African women, in 1968, Coretta Scott King spoke in place of Martin Luther King on the podium in Central Park. So that will be our Revolution Rewind moment for that hour. So that's sort of the gig. In a Malcolm X hour, we have a recording of June Jordan being interviewed by Julius Lester in 1968, where she says the reason why she became a poet was because Malcolm X. So even within Malcolm X, who was assassinated in 65, we still have a 68 Revolution Rewind moment where his influence made June Jordan a poet. That's pretty important. We have a Unlearning to Not Speak Feminist Journeys Hour with Addie Gevins, Lucia Chappelle, Susan Rubin from the Feminist Majority, Haunani Singer, and Eben Ray as a women's production circle with me at the lead, I'm helping to sort of really carve out these women's hours. You know, we knew that we wanted to do some programming like this, but the way it sort of worked out is to an hour on Power of African Women, an hour on Global Women, and an hour of feminism. So the three... those 3 hours really speak to a very broad scope of both our recordings and how we present and curate them. So the feminist hour is the, you know, why did the feminist movement have to begin in the first place? We have the original recordings, you know, the Bella Abzugs, the Betty Friedans, and so on and so forth. The exciting thing about creating this hour is that we've collaborated and joined with the Feminist Majority in a formal sense, that they are offering us their DVD called Global Women. Yes, that's right. As well as DVDs of the 10th anniversary of the Feminist Majority speeches with Barbara Boxer and the like, as well as their upcoming December 1st 20th anniversary. They're giving us subscriptions to Ms. Magazine, and we are creating together a feminist anthology of voices. So we'll be mixing early Pacifica recordings with current Feminist Majority recordings to really give what should be the first anthology of feminist voices collaborated with the Feminist Majority. And this also means that we get the Feminist Majority to send emails out to their listserv to say, listen at 7 p.m. Pacific time for the Feminist Hour.
Because it extends our audience.
Yes, extending.
Yeah, if we give them enough notice, will they actually put it in Ms. Magazine and, like, give it a full-page spread and say...
Oh, my God. Wait, we're too late for that.
We're way too late for that. But we might be able to do something afterwards. You know, once the collaboration has... This is sort of stamping the approval of this is a collaboration that we want to continue with. December 1st is their 20th anniversary. Us sort of collaborating with them and broadcasting that collaboration on the 27th of November helps them as well. So it is a very nice symbiotic relationship. The woman who wrote and narrated the Global Women film is the one who's working with us. Addie, it would probably be a good idea for me to ask you to speak about the feminist circle since you're a woman.
You know, I don't I don't know if there's more to say except that, you know, we've got a lot of really, really great material, and we've pulled up very, you know, material that is not familiar and that is really, really important. So it's going to be a lot of fun for the audience, from the youngest people we could possibly get to listen, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's a really good thing.
Right.